Thank you, Missy, for that lovely offertory, and thank you, Pat and Sharla, and your part in the music this morning. And I invite you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, and I'm going to read verses 5 through 9. Genesis 6, verse 5. Pray for our country, too. We need prayer. We have lost our way as a nation. We need to pray for our leaders, pray for our president, that God would have his way in his life. And we're in trouble, except for our God. But we have a God who knows. And instead of throwing up our hands in despair, we say, Lord, do your work. Work out your will. We need revival. We need to see a turning in this nation. And that begins right here. We don't need reformation. We need regeneration. And but we can pray for our nation as well. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Sounds like he's writing about the day in which we live. Only evil continually. And it repented the Lord. Notice the Lord was sorry that he'd made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, the fowls in the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. Noah took God at his word. That's what we learn about Noah. Noah took God at his word. Let's stand together and let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this time together. We ask your blessing upon us as we open your word together. May our hearts be stirred to serve you faithfully. May we trust you. May we believe in you. May we just take you at your word and believe the Bible and live the Bible and give our lives as a living sacrifice unto you, for you are worthy. And no one else is but you are, Lord. And we're so thankful that we can give ourselves to you. And may we do it with joy. May we do it with eagerness. May we do it willingly, Lord, and not grudgingly. We ask your blessing on our time now in the Word of God. And we pray your leading and guiding in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear, prepared an ark. We read in 2 Peter 2, just turn over to your right to 2 Peter 2, and verse 5. 2 Peter 2, verse 5, we read, and God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. God spared not the old world, but he saved Noah. He took the world, but he saved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, when he brought in a worldwide flood upon the ungodly. Noah, what an unusual man. He stood alone. And stand he did, but he stood alone in the face of opposition, tremendous opposition. Few will stand alone for God. Few preachers will stand alone for God. A few teenagers will stand alone for God. A few, very few politicians will stand alone for God. But brave and bold are those who do. Are you among those who will stand alone for God? Noah, our example. Noah, a very godly example for us. What an encouragement to do right, no matter what opposition we face when we look at the life of Noah. What a testimony. He alone, he and his family alone was spared of the worldwide flood, of the condemnation, of the judgment of God. He condemned the world by his testimony and his faith in God, and he showed that it is possible to stand alone. It's possible for you to stand alone. Sometimes you feel like, well, I'm the only one. That's okay. You're in good company. You're in the company of men like Noah. Everything and everybody was against, but one was for him. And that one was the Almighty One. That's all you need. Because you and God, as has been said, make a majority in any situation. All we need is the Lord. And we do need the Lord. You and I only need God. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 8:37. But thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 15:57. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. We read in 2 Corinthians 2:14. You are of God, little children, and don't overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. And many other reminders of who we are, what we have in Jesus Christ. But Noah, by faith, Noah moved with fear, prepared an ark, condemned the world. Hebrews 11:7. He moved with fear by faith. What's that mean? He believed. He simply took God at his word. By faith, he moved with fear. He prepared an ark. He condemned the world. What made the difference? Why was Noah saved? He believed. He simply believed. He believed what God said and responded. I think again back in that night in 1974, on the evening of December 4th, or was it the early morning of December 4th? It's either 11:30 at night or 12:30 in the morning. So it was one or the other. But Roberta and I don't understand it to this day, but we became Christians. What did we do? We believed. We just believed that God would save us if we would ask him. So we asked him, and he did. Noah believed what God said, and he responded. God said, build a boat, because I'm bringing a flood. And he built a boat. God says to you and me, get saved, believe, because I'm bringing judgment, eternal hell. And all you must do is believe to be saved. Believe to be saved. No one took him at his word. Faith is a tow rope, and we need a tow rope to get to God. You're not going to get to God on your own. You're not going to get to God without an anchor. We need to have our anchor in heaven on God. Faith is a tow rope to get to God. We're harnessed securely to that cable to heaven. Noah didn't need an anchor. He just needed faith. Noah took God at his word. That was his anchor. Well, what happens when a man takes God in his word? Well, I believe seven things are found in a man who takes God at his word, as was seen in Noah in Hebrews 11. Number one, a man who takes God at his word, a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, he responds to the grace of God. Genesis 6:8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He responds to the grace of God. Noah found it because Noah believed. Noah responded to the grace of God. By grace are you saved through faith, Ephesians 2:8-9 says. Not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works. Noah didn't work his way into that boat. Well, he did, but he believed. It's his faith that stands out. So, he responds to the grace of God. Noah walked with God and was warned of God in a very wicked world. You and I, we live in a wicked world. This world is no friend of grace, never has been, never will be. But we're here. We're in it for now. Can I live a godly life in a wicked world? Noah? If Noah did, you can. I can. Noah walked with God in this wicked world, and he was warned of God in a very wicked world, but he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he walked with God. Again, Genesis 6, 6 to 8. In Genesis, well, look at Genesis 6. Go back. I should have had you turn there before. Genesis 6, verse 5. Genesis 6:5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This is where Noah lived. In a wicked world where the thoughts of every man's heart was only evil continually. Continually. This can be worded that the inclination of the thoughts of his heart was altogether evil all the time. The thoughts of his heart was altogether evil all the time. All in the negative. It was no good. He was a wicked sinner. He lived in the midst of wicked sinners. And yet, he found grace. He lived in the midst of the lowest level of flesh and vileness and wickedness, only evil continually, depravity, and God would bring great judgment. He would bring a flood to destroy man off the earth. He was going to obliterate the race. But Noah found grace, and God gave Noah 120 years. He gave the world 120 years in the midst of his wrath to repent. You see, grace does much more than is expected. And God is gracious. God shows grace to you. Otherwise, there'd be no hope for you or me. God showed me grace. I should have been judged. I was condemned. I was on my way to hell. I was a wicked sinner. But God showed grace to me at 22 years of age. I was such a stupid scoundrel. And yet God saved me. I don't know why. I don't know how. Well, I know why. Because he loved me. Why didn't he love me? Because he loved me. And I was worthy to be judged. This nation will be judged one day. But praise God for his grace in snatching sinners out of the midst of the fire. What about my life? Why am I not judged? God will chasten me, but if I'm a Christian, he will not judge me. The judgment of hell and death and condemnation was placed upon my Savior when he bore that wrath of God on the cross. And I praise God for that, for his love. This nation is headed for judgment. I believe God is withholding his judgment. I know some will say, well, he's judging the nation now. Maybe he is. I don't know how we know. I don't know if we really know what the real judgment of God is going to look like. In some ways, I think we ain't seen nothing yet. And I know, you know, we're going through rough times, but we enjoy a lot of good things in this world yet, a lot of prosperity. And I think that's going to disappear one day. But the thing is me. What about my life? Why am I not judged? God will chasten me. God will discipline me. But the judgment of God was placed upon my Savior. And my faith is in Him. Then I am spared of that eternal wrath. But He will discipline. He will chasten. But He withholds His judgment of this nation, I believe. It doesn't mean He approves of the direction we're going. God doesn't approve of the slaughter of innocent preborn babies in the abortion industry. We slaughter babies by the thousands upon thousands upon thousands. Will God withhold His judgment upon a nation that does that? Will God withhold His judgment upon a nation that not only tolerates homosexuality, but has gotten a place it promotes it? And transgenderism. It's disgusting. It's a stench in God's nostrils. Those people need to be saved, just like you and me. They're no worse sinners than you were before you were saved. It's just their sin is manifest maybe in a more visible, wicked way, but all are headed for hell but by God's grace, and they need salvation. But God has withheld His judgment. He is long-suffering. God will, if He doesn't judge our nation, I believe He will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah and the people of those cities for sparing them of eternal judgment. God chose Noah in the midst of wrath and judgment. God says in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk prays, God, in your wrath, in your judgment, be merciful. Remember mercy. And He does. And He has been. And He's merciful to you. Again, you deserve eternal damnation and hell. But in His wrath, He showed you mercy if you're saved. It's by grace. It's by His mercy we're saved. Wrath is coming, though. Hell is moving. And the mouth of hell is opening wide for sinners to be judged eternally. And you cannot escape hell. You cannot, but by grace. Have you experienced that grace? Oh my, the grace of God. How wonderful, how amazing, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Why? Grace, grace, grace. His response. Well, in His response to grace, we see that He walked with God and He was warned of God. Oh, the wonderful, gracious, guiding hand of God to warn and to help and to woo and to direct. And God was withholding the flood, but the flood was coming, and He warned Noah. And catastrophe is coming for you and me, except for the grace of God, the warning of God. God has warned us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, not of the Father, but is of the flesh and of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. 1 John 2:15-17. Well, not only does He respond to the grace of God by a walk of faith, but He lives in reverence to God. The reverence of faith. We need a reverent heart in our lives. We shouldn't be just living with the knowledge of God but with a holy fear and reverence and awe of God. We need to ask God to give us a burning heart. Remember the disciples that walked along the road to Emmaus after Jesus' resurrection? Then Jesus comes walking along with him. And they said, did not our heart burn within us while he walked with us and talked with us along the way? They had a burning heart. That's in Luke 24, I think. And so we need a burning heart, a heart that's passionate for God, that's in love with God, that'll do anything that God will say. Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, use me in whatever way you want. Do with me what you will. We need to walk in awe and reverence and have a burning heart and please him and have a realization that our God is a consuming fire and the ground on which we walk is holy ground. And we're to take the sandals off our feet, for that ground is holy. That we revere, respect, reverence the Bible, that we tremble at his word. Well, no one moved with fear because he took God at his word. He didn't build the ark because he thought it might happen. Maybe a flood will come. Maybe judgment will come. But he built that ark and repaired it as if it was already happening. He was transformed by the sobering truth that judgment was coming. Are you and I transformed? We know it's coming, but it's coming, I know. But I'm saved, God saved me. Is there a difference in our lives? He was transformed by the sobering truth. It was a necessity upon him. He said with Paul, woe is me if I preach not the gospel, as we read in 1 Corinthians 9:16. Necessity is laid upon me, Paul said. So woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. And I think that's what Noah said. Necessity was laid upon him. And I believe he pleaded with the enemies of God to flee from the wrath of God, to flee from the judgment, to flee from the flood that was coming. Do we move with fear? Do we live in fear and awe of our God? Or do we go, ho-hum, what a boring day, another day to exist, another day to live. I wish my circumstances were different. What's the problem? You are the problem. You. God's not the problem. Your neighbor's not the problem. Your spouse, your kids are not the problem. You are the problem. The problem lies in my heart and my walk or lack of walk with God. That doesn't mean we don't have problems. I know we do. And yes, you all cause me all kinds of problems. Let me tell you about it. Okay. No, I'm kidding. But that's the way we are, right? It's always out there. No, sometimes I need to work on me, on me. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. He pleaded with the enemies of the truth to flee from the wrath of God. And we need to move with fear. Jude 22 and 23 in part says, and some having compassion, making a difference. And others, same with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Compassion. God, give me compassion to make a difference in someone's life. To share the gospel with them. To share my testimony. To tell them how God saved me. And maybe I can pull someone out of the fire. Again, June 23. We need to simply take God in his word. So Noah responded to the grace of God, the walk of faith. He lived in reverence to God. He had a reverence of faith. And thirdly, he lived in obedience to God, the obedience of faith. He prepared an ark. He prepared an ark. In Genesis 6:14, God said to Noah, build an ark. And in Genesis 6:22, we read, Noah built an ark. That's how we live. God says this, we do this. God says, read your Bible, I read my Bible. God says, pray, I pray. God says, share your testimony, I share your testimony. God says, love your family, I love my family. And on we can go. If God said it, I do it. I obey. Trust and obey. Believe and obey. He simply obeyed God. And he showed his faith by his works. And what he did didn't make sense. It didn't make sense. It seems that, I mean, he's building an ark. There's no water. And he's building a boat. You see, if you and I are truly believing, we'll do what God tells us to do every time, no questions asked. If God calls you to preach, and he says, go preach to a tree, then go preach to a tree. Might be a Zacchaeus up in that tree that'll hear you preach. We never know, do we? Just do it. Don't follow your emotions, your feelings. Don't even necessarily follow your reason. Follow God's call. Follow God's call. I can't say I've always been faithful to obey God's call, but I'll never forget the call upon my life to preach. And I thought, me, Lord? I've been on drugs, smoking pot, taking LSD, mescaline, all that stuff, alcoholic, Budweiser, all the time. And God called me to preach. God did it. I sure didn't do it. If it was up to me, it wouldn't have never happened. God said, Noah, make an ark. Noah said, how big? Make an ark. Make it 450 feet long, 75 feet wide. Lord, Noah said, I didn't learn this in shop class in industrial arts. They didn't teach me how to do this. And Lord, I've never seen a boat. And Lord, I don't even know what a boat is. Well, maybe he did. But we read in Genesis 6:22, thus did Noah. That's the key. He just did it. That's the Christian life simplified. Just obey. Do what God tells you to do in his word, when he speaks to your heart. Sometimes he speaks through others. Men, listen to your wives. They're usually, that adverb's important, smarter than we are. And we do well to take their advice. God, but we listen to God for sure. Make an ark. Make an ark. And thus did Noah. And Genesis 7:5, and Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. He did according to all. Bible says in 2 Peter 2:5 that Noah was called a preacher of righteousness. And his greatest preaching was his life of obedience. He did more than what he said. He didn't talk the talk all the time. Rather, he walked the walk. And that's where we need to be. I imagine he and his sons gave bus tours to see this spectacle, this huge ark. You can go to Ken Ham's ark in, is it Kentucky? In Kentucky. And you can take a bus there and you can go see the ark. Well, they weren't given bus tours in that day, but maybe they were. He gave some kind of tour. But as people came by, they can hear Noah say, Ham, get me some more nails. Shem, get some tar over here. We don't want this ship to leak. Every board that was sawn, and was another, every board that was sawn in half was another sermon. Every nail or peg driven into that ark was a testimony of God's word of righteousness. Your life, your obedience, and your surrender to God says volumes about your faith. Show me thy faith. Show me thy faith by thy works, James says. Jesus said in John 13:35, by this shall all men know you are my disciples if you love one another. In other words, it's doing the word, not just hearing the word and believing the word, but obeying the word. If you love me, keep my commandments, John 14:15. Noah just obeyed God, and that's what a man and a woman will do when they take God in his word. They'll just obey. We sing, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Is your life a testimony of God's transforming grace? Will a man of God will respond to the grace of God, live in reverence to God, act in obedience to God. Number four, a man who takes God in his word will also influence his family for God. Influence his family for God. In chapter 11, again, I want to say Noah chapter 6, verse 11, Genesis 6, Hebrews 11:7, then he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. That was in Hebrews, to the saving of his house. In other words, he was an influence in his family for God. His life saved the lives of his family because they saw the dad feared God and loved God. The world perished, but Noah and his family were spared. We see that in Genesis 6:18, Genesis 7 and verse 7, 13, 16, and 23. Talks about Noah and his family with him. That's why it's so important that dad lives for God, serves God, loves God, because dad is the example for his family. And because he believed God and obeyed God, he enjoyed the security of God as he and his family took that boat ride for months and months. And how sobering for them to possibly see the bodies of those, many of whom they no doubt knew, floating by the ark that were lost and floating in the water. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He that believes will be saved. He that believes not will be damned. Many that believe not were judged in the flood. The Philippian jailer said to Paul and Silas in Acts 16:30, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they responded, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house, your family. And they baptized he and all his household. His sons and wife were saved and secure because they watched their father every day, and they saw a man who had faith, a man who took God in his word, and they followed his faith. His son Japheth, he graduated from Mount Ararat Senior High School. And his classmates that graduated with him said, well, Japheth, what are you going to do now that you graduated? And Japheth said, oh, I'm going to help Dad build the ark. Their 20-year class reunion. His friend said, so Jay, what are you doing now? Oh, working with Dad on the ark. 50-year class reunion came. Well, Japheth, you're still around. You're not still working on that. How'd that ark turn out? Oh, we're still a work in progress. You see, sons followed their father's faith. And yet they lived in a very wicked society. You know, I fear for my children, what they're growing up in. You know, I never knew that. I fear for me. My kids are fine. They'll do fine. It's me I'm worried about, what I'm facing, you know. But we need not fear for our children. God's going to take care of them. We knew our part. We taught them the way of God. Whether they respond or not, that was their choice. They have to make that choice. I can't make that for them. And if I fail to teach them the right way, I can ask God to forgive me, and he will. You know, and I can go on. But you know, God's going to take care of them. And the world is pulling our children. And who's going to influence them for God if I don't? And family members know. Father has that responsibility. Mother has that responsibility. You as dad and mom have that responsibility in their home. Okay? We do the best we can. Proverbs 1, verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace into thy hands, under thy head, and chains about thy neck. So the instruction of the kids is, hear the instruction of your father, implying that father better be instructing them, teaching them the way of God. And the result will be a happy, secure family, as we read about in Psalm 128. Well, we see that Noah responded to the grace of God, lived in reverence to God, and in obedience to God, influenced his family for God, and a man who takes God in his word will stand as a witness to God. Back in Hebrews 11:7, we read, by which he condemned the world. What he did, building that ark, in doing that, he condemned the world. He stood as a witness to God. By this faith, he passed judgment on the world's unbelief, the Amplified Bible says. By his faith, he passed judgment and a sentence on the world's unbelief. In other words, he put the whole world in the wrong. He was in the right, one man, and the whole world was in the wrong. But Noah and God made a majority, and the world became the minority. He did the right thing. He didn't do the popular thing. You see, boats were not real popular at that time. A lot of people didn't know what a boat was. Maybe they had a few on a few lakes around there. I don't know. But some didn't know what a boat was. But he didn't do the popular thing. And so Noah stands alone as a witness to God's truth and righteousness. Jesus said in John 3:16 through 21, and this is a condemnation, that light is coming to the world. Men love darkness rather than light. When Jesus came, light came in the world. When you live your life for Jesus, light is in your corner of the world. You see, God always has a witness. He always has a light by which he exposes sin and darkness. And you're to be that light. God's chosen you to be that light, be that witness. Matthew 5:14-16 in part says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men. Let it shine that they may see your good work. Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Good for nothing. Noah stood as a witness. I can stand as a witness. And he witnessed by the word. He was referred to as a preacher of righteousness. Again, 2 Peter 2, verse 5. He spared not the old world, but brought in the flood upon the world and the ungodly, and he saved Noah, preacher of righteousness. For 120 years, that's a long time, 120 years, Noah preached. He testified, and not one word was wasted. Not one minute of his preaching was in vain for those 120 years. That's a long time to testify. That's a long time to wait. But he witnessed by his life. He walked with God. Proverbs 11:4 says, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteous delivers from death. Isaiah was a witness in Isaiah 6:9-11, where he said, here am I, Lord, send me. And God said, go and tell this people, hear but understand not, see but perceive not, till the cities be wasted. I'm to be a witness, whether for salvation, whether it be for judgment. I'm to be a testimony, a light. Jesus said, Mark 16:15 and following, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. Some will be saved. When you testify, some will be damned. But God is glorified in it all. And they went forth and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. God said in Ephesians 5:8, verse 8 and following, you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the world. Lord, walk as children of light. You're light in the Lord. Live as light. Live as light. You're a flashlight. God made you a flashlight. Some of us kind of look like flashlights, don't we? Well, shine. God made me a flashlight. I'm to shine. There's nothing more useless than a dysfunctional flashlight. I remember one day going down the basement and picking up all my flashlights. And I found about 10 flashlights that day. None of them worked. None of them. And I thought, why do I have these flashlights? Some of them just needed batteries, but most of them just, I don't know, you just don't throw a flashlight away, you know? And that was me, but I finally threw them away. Well, be a light. Be a bright light. Be a light for the Lord. Is your life a light in darkness? Are your actions reproof to those who do evil? If I take God in his word and I act upon my faith, I'll be radically different than the world. My life is to be lived in such a way that others are attracted to the Savior or reproved by my life. They'll be either converted or condemned. Noah took God at his word. He responded to grace. He lived in reverence. He responded to the grace of God, lived in reverence to God, acted in obedience to God, influenced family for God. And number 6, he bowed in worship to God. Genesis 8, verse 20, he gave God glory. He came God's way by a blood sacrifice. He offered a blood sacrifice. In Genesis 8:20-21, he came with thanksgiving and he gained God's acceptance, for it was a sweet-smelling savor to God. In Genesis 6:21, God says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We're to do that. Are we building an altar like Noah did? Do we pray? Do we have a time? Do we have a family altar? Do we worship God every day? There will be a time in our lives every day we worship God. We pray to God. We read his word. Psalmist said, Psalm 5:2, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Look up. A man who doesn't worship God, doesn't pray, doesn't bow down, doesn't take God in his word, is ungrateful for his mercy. And when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. Finally, a man who takes God in his word inherits the reward of God. Number 7, inherits the reward of God. He became the heir of righteousness, which is my faith. Hebrews 11:7. He became the heir of righteousness, which is my faith. Righteousness, a gift from God, as used here. It's right in that righteousness is imputed, given by God. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believes. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. The righteousness of God shall be revealed to those who are not ashamed, those who believe. We see that in Romans 1:16. Romans 3:21, where the righteousness of God is manifested. Philippians 3:9, where Christ is the righteousness which is by God, which is of God by faith. And 2 Corinthians 5:21, we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is righteousness that only comes by faith, only by believing. Believing in Jesus, receiving him as Savior, believing he died for me. The simple plan of salvation. Simple it is. Simple it is. It was difficult for our Lord, but he made it possible for you and me. Not only to be saved, but to live a life of victory and joy and happiness in him. And God help us to live that life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time in your word. We pray your blessing now as we close. May we give you glory. May we rejoice in you. May we commit our lives to you and surrender everything to you, even as Noah offered all to you. May we do likewise. And we thank you that as he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, so we can find grace. And oh, how we need grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.